Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This is Bronco Tuesday. Taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
Thank you, and good morning. Bob is here, of course, and wrestling in the house today. Head coach Mike Mendoza is here, along with Fred Green, a sophomore wrestler at 157 pounds for Boise State. And looking over your information, Mike, all I can say is you need to fire your travel agent.
Yeah, well.
You've been your last three stops: Brookings, South Dakota; Fargo, North Dakota; Greeley, Colorado, in the dead of winter. What's wrong with you guys? You know,
well, the funny thing is, I think it was 1 degree warmer out there in the Dakotas than it was back here that time last week.
But good news, the next four Saturdays, you guys are going to be at home. You don't have to go anywhere. So you don't need a travel agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is very good. How's the team coming up, your first year here at Boise State? Has it met your expectations? How's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, great group, a lot of progress. And, you know, obviously coming in, didn't know exactly what we were starting with. But really, really surprised, you know, like you said, with like Fred Green here, just jumped big levels. Coming in, you know, he's actually a redshirt freshman. So coming in this year, he's just done great things and got a few other standouts on the team. So it's going in the right direction.
Now, Fred, last year it says you wrestled unattached. What does that mean? And it looked like you split between different weight classes. What was that experience like, too?
So unattached is whenever you're wrestling for Boise State and you practice with the team, but you're not officially putting on the gear and representing. Because as a redshirt, it's a transition year. Mm-hmm. And just kind of gives you 1 year to get your feet under you academically. And that just transfers over athletically mm-hmm. as well. So you compete on competitions that don't affiliate with Boise State.
So more like open tournaments and things like that?
Yeah, open events.
So what did you learn when you came in here? You were talking about a big difference between high school and college. You were a four-time state champion in high school. What's the biggest difference moving up to the collegiate level?
At the college level, everyone's a four-time, three-time. I mean, those are the guys that get recruited to the D1 level. So you're just in a field of your own kind at that point.
You're 15-13 on the season. You lead the team with 8 pins. What's the secret to getting so many pins? Leverage?
Just being good on top. That's where I'm most comfortable, is on top of the guy, working the turns and the tilts that I do know well. That's just my niche. That's where I shine.
Are you a speed wrestler, a strength wrestler? Which are you?
I'm going to go more leverage than anything. Because I'm not very explosive. I just know how to work the angles on top.
So, Coach, when you look at Fred, this is your first year coaching him.
Yeah.
So how has he improved the most since you've taken over? And then where do you think he can make the biggest jump between now and when he's a senior winning all kinds of championships?
Yeah, I think it just mentally, he's just he's a machine. He just goes, and that's what makes him really good. There's no gaps in his or pauses in his wrestling. And he is tough on top, and he just keeps going. I think he can improve by not giving up position. The thing that makes him good is he just lets it fly out there. Mm-hmm. He'll compromise his own position at the same time. So it's nerve-wracking coaching him. It really is. He's the least fun guy to coach at moments in his matches. But at the same time, it's great. It's what makes him good. He lets it fly. And he knows how to find positions, and he keeps wrestling and puts guys on his back.
Now, when you're working with all the different guys on the team, it sounds like everybody kind of has a different style a little bit, based maybe on their body type or personality or whatever. So yeah. Do you have to work with that, and are you going to accentuate that, or are you going to try to change them to do something different?
No, yeah, exactly. These guys have certain strengths and things that made them successful, you know, in high school, and a lot of times that's going to what make them successful at the college level too. So, yeah, each guy has their own strength, and Fred is one of those loosey goosey guys that has got great agility and just a funky style and weird feel for positions.
We're talking with Mike Mendoza, the Boise State wrestling coach, and redshirt freshman Fred Green. It's 844.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
And Boise State Wrestling in the house. Coach Mike Mendoza is here, along with redshirt freshman 157-pounder Fred Green. You open up at home in your first conference game against Cal State Bakersfield at noon on the 21st. What are you looking for, and what has Bakersfield got?
Coming from there, know those guys pretty well and that team pretty well. They've got a few changes in their lineup, but really I'm focusing on our team just performing at the high level with a lot of fight and a lot of effort. And I think that's one thing. We've wrestled a few duels now, and we've seen kind of maybe a little bit of change and not really consistency in going out with just a full effort across the board. And we've done it, and it's what helped us win our first home match. And, there's always a part of competing at home in your gym that helps accentuate that. But, on the road, we've hit and miss there a little bit. And certainly that's what we're going to need this weekend is guys going out there just mentally ready.
Now, the matches are at Taco Bell Arena now. In the past, a lot of times they were, at Bronco Gym. In the past, they were at Taco Bell Arena. Biggest difference when you got sort of an intimate place to have the match, because I would think that I'm not going to be sitting too far from where Fred's wrestling.
Yeah, it is great. I mean, the fans are right up on the mat, which is great for the fans because mm-hmm. they're right there in the action. I mean, they could pretty much hear the grunts and the groans and wrestling. And at the same time, the crowd's right on top of us. So we've got a crowd right behind us that's cheering for us. And these guys, hear it.
Fred, what's the biggest difference when you're wrestling at a tournament where there's a whole bunch of matches and going on at the same time and there's a lot of people versus one and everybody's right there?
It's like making the finals of that tournament to where you're the one with, say, couple hundred eyes on you rather than your coaches in your corner and your team's up in the stands. It's a lot of energy. You can feel it when you're on the mat. Everyone's kind of anticipating what's gonna happen with your match while you're walking out. So
got a great home schedule. A week from Saturday, of course, Stanford comes in. Then you have Oregon State for the Beauty and the Beast in early February. And then Arizona State comes in the middle of the month, next month. So you got some pretty impressive teams coming in.
Yeah, all our conference meets are at home every week for the next 4 weeks.
That's awesome.
We talked a little bit about the difference in wrestling. Is there a difference in coaching when you've got multiple? I mean, I guess it's possible that you might even have two wrestlers at the same time in a big open meet versus you've got one match to wrestle for a weekend for each wrestler. And it's one at a time, so you can focus on everybody closely.
Yeah, I mean, we can prepare for the team that we have coming in, and at the same time, we can focus on, all our coaches on each guy in each match. Whereas a tournament, we've got to split up. You'll have multiple guys up at one time, so one coach with one guy, another coach with another. And, totally different going into competition where we're focused on one team.
Different training for a match, one match a week versus when you're going to go to a tournament, you might wrestle, five or six?
Yeah, you're going to wrestle five or six matches. So, yeah, that time of is definitely different. Training changes a little bit, but we're still focused on wrestling, so it doesn't change too much. We might change a little bit of our training to tailor towards the team that we have coming in or we're going to.
Fred, you're from the town of Orting, Washington. And I don't know a lot about that, except that I'm pretty sure you have a good view of Mount Rainier. And I remember several years ago there was some bad flooding there. What's the town like?
It's just a small town with a population of about 7,000, so a third of the enrollment for the campus here at Boise State. It's a small town inside of a valley. On each side of the valley, there's a river. So we're practically an island that's within land.
Wow.
And whenever all the snow melts over after the winter, the entire city pretty much goes underwater. And we can't go up out of the valley because we're pretty much trapped. But besides that, that flood hazard,
yeah,
it's a beautiful view.
Great view of the mountains.
Yeah.
I've always likened wrestlers warming up for their match like pole vaulters or high jumpers. You walk around, Well, what are you thinking in the minutes before it's your turn on a mat?
I think everyone's a little different. Some people think about, hey, what's going to be my first move when I go out there? I try to clear my mind, kind of, I pump my chest a couple times, slap my legs, kind of get the skin warmed up more than anything. But I don't know, everyone has a different thing that gets to them, what warms them up.
Do you ever look at the guy you're going to wrestle?
Yeah, you'll shoot a couple glances, but it's never a stare down like you'd want to think.
Coach, is there a lot of video? I mean, do you look at whoever Fred's going to wrestle this week, and is there like a breakdown and you're going over things? I mean, is it different than when you have maybe, you know, a couple hours maybe at the most in a tournament to know who somebody's wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, there's breakdown of film. We'll do it as a coaching staff. We won't really have the guys do that. We want them focused on their match and what they do. And, you know, if there's certain things that are significant, you know, we'll go over those things with the wrestlers. But, yeah, definitely scouting. I mean, there's video on the Internet available. All the coaches pretty much know who they're wrestling.
All right, we're talking with Mike Mendoza and a wrestler, almost said Fred Davis. I have a friend, Fred Davis. Fred Green, redshirt freshman. Good luck this Saturday in your match against Cal State Bakersfield. And it's going to be nice to be home for 4 weeks, right?
It sure is.
All right, thanks, guys. KBOI News Time, 8:53.
Ready for the best deal ever?
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Got a couple of minutes. Got kind of a disappointing loss for Boise State last night. And if I hear dig a hole too big, too deep, too wide one more time, I'm going to scream, and I'm sure Leon Rice feels the same.
It was almost the same movie as we saw Saturday at Fresno State. You know, you're down 18, you make this furious run. It was an 11-0 run in the second half. I think it was like 16 or 18-2 when it ended up, and you get within two.
With 6 minutes left.
Exactly, but it's hard. You're out of gas, and then they hit a couple free throws or a basket, and all of a sudden it's back to six, and now you're working to dig out again a little bit. So that's the thing I think against San Jose State Saturday they're going to have to do is they're going to have to start a little bit better. You know, you can't be down that much at half. It's amazing if you're down 8 or 9 versus 18.
They're down 8 or 9, they win.
Yeah, they do.
I think they win last night.
And this league is so topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
I thought at the beginning of the year, 4 losses is going to win the league. Now you have 2 of them. The biggest thing is you want to stay ahead of a big pack that right now has 3 losses. So getting Saturday will be huge against San Jose State, a team that, you know, they lost 2 last year in San Jose, and it's significantly better. But one, if you expect to be in the top 3 or 4 teams in the league, you need to beat San Jose on the road Saturday.
And that's an afternoon game,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. We'll be starting at 2:30. We'll have our coaches' show, Inside Bronco Basketball Live. That'll take place tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Women's team will play tonight at New Mexico, 7 o'clock on sister station KTIK AM with Chris Lewis. And they'll be playing the New Mexico team. The men and women basically play the same schedule except flipped. And they're 3-2 in the conference, so they're looking to win their second game in a row tonight.
All right, thanks. Bob Beeler. KBOI News Time is 8:56, Idaho Talks Live on this Inauguration Week 2017. Coming up after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
What's it been, like 2 weeks since the temperature's been above freezing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I'm going to do this story because it makes me think of warmer climes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The planet Earth, that's us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The planet Earth sizzled to its third straight record warm year in 2016. And federal scientists, and we're going to have a lot of people who don't agree with this, federal scientists say human industrial activity is to blame.
All right.
You believe in that?
You know, I don't know. I've seen so many articles on both sides. There are a lot of people who say, you know, that the weather and the climate is cyclical, and it just comes around, and it'll, you know, go up, go down over a period of years, and that we're just in a period right now where it's going to get a little warmer and some things are going to melt, and then eventually it'll get cooler. I don't know. And if it is our fault, I mean, I don't know how to completely reverse it, because we're kind of dependent on engines and whatnot.
Yeah. The average temperature across the Earth's land and ocean surfaces was 1.69 degrees above average. That's quite a bit. Almost 2 degrees, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It was the largest margin by which an annual global temperature record has ever been broken. The global average temperature in 2016 was 58.69 degrees.
So not only are we're getting warmer faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although only less than 2 degrees above average, which sounds small, it's quite a large number in climate science, where records are often broken by tenths or hundreds of a second, not by
degree. Again, this is one of those issues where you listen to people on both sides, and both of them sound like they have a point. Mm-hmm. Both of them sound like the science is correct on this side, and the science is also correct on this side, saying there is no global warming. And then there's the other science that says, you know, well, there is, but it's not our fault. And then there's the other one that says, well, completely, it is, and it's our fault.
Yep, that's true.
So kind of three sides, really.
A separate analysis of data from NASA concurred with NOAA's findings. Most of the warming has happened in the past 35 years. 16 of the 17 warmest years have occurred since 2001. And it's 2017.
Excepting, of course, the years back when we didn't, write stuff down.
Temperatures, yeah.
Way back when.
Record high temperatures were set in 2016 on nearly every continent. No land areas were cooler than average for the year. The record warmth was 80% to 90% because of long-term trends and 10% because of El Nino. NASA climate scientist Gavin Schmidt said the long-term warming trend over the past few decades can be linked to the burning of fossil fuels that are releasing gases such as carbon dioxide. The burning of oil, gas, and coal for energy releases greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide and methane. These gases have caused the Earth's temperature to rise over the past century to levels that cannot be explained by natural variability.
Okay, then.
So they're saying it's outside.
Well, but then you read something else that essentially says, no, they can. They really can.
Yeah, they can indeed. All right, we got a caller. Let's go to the phones and Seamus of Meridian. Seamus.
Actually, I'm not exactly sure where I stand on this issue, but it's just like any other study. I think there's something called confirmation bias, and you can correlate any kind of evidence to transform the data that you've got to adjust it to what you're looking for. And I think it's really difficult in climate science to kind of make the determination between the two unless you really study it a lot on your own.
Well, that's a mistake. That's a mistake I think that's been made over centuries by scientists, is that they, at some point, it's like you're a detective, and if you decide somebody's guilty, the only evidence you look for is the evidence that shows that they're guilty, and you ignore everything else. And
I don't think there's any intention for it either. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. But, you know, in terms of science, though, if you simply think, if you're looking for a result, you will collect all the information that leads to that result and maybe ignore the things that, lead to another conclusion.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't think it's intentional, but, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and the only constant here is the fact that it's getting warmer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is getting warmer. The cause, we're not sure about. Seamus, thanks for the call. And I don't pretend to be a climactic expert.
There are plenty of people, you know, who say that despite the fact that, what are we, between 7 and 8 billion people on the Earth now.
Yeah.
That even that number, based on the size of the Earth, is still just basically a surface nuisance to the Earth. Yeah. You know, like if it felt like it, it would just brush us off and we'd never come back. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know whether people are the cause of this or whether it's just a cycle that happens, you know, every 1,000 years or something.
Yeah. Bob Ward of the London School of Economics and Political Science says no world leader can afford to ignore these results, which show that people all over the globe are being exposed to increasing impacts of climate change. Any politician who denies this evidence from world-class climate scientists in the United States will be willfully turning a blind eye to rising risks that threaten the lives and livelihood of their citizens.
And as we said, that's what that's what the one side has always said. Yep. How can you ignore science?
Exactly.
And there are other people that say, well, we kind of ignore science because every few years we find out that something we used to think is wrong and now something else is true.
Yep. Since the start of the 21st century, the annual global temperature record has been broken five times: 2005, 2010, 2014, 15, and 16.
Seems pretty consistent, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Let's take a break. KBOI News Time is 9:14. We'll be back with your phone calls.
Was Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:19. The KBOI rewards code, climate, CLIMATE, climate. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter climate, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Got this in just a few minutes ago from Ada County.
Okay.
And it relates to weather. Ada County is providing sandbags for Ada County residents beginning today. There is a limit of 10 bags per household, and sandbags are only to be used for property protection for nuisance flooding, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals will need to fill their own bags with sand and provide their own shovel. But, you know, you can have the sandbags. Residential cleanup and disposal of the sandbags is the responsibility then of the homeowner. Sandbag location will be at Barber Park and at Expo Idaho. And there are various pickup times. I would suggest you go to the Ada County website to check it out.
All right. Let's go to Steve at Boise. Steve.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, it'd be one thing if all they did was report on this. You know, climate changes every year. I mean, 39 or 33 was a very cold year or a very hot year. And they have records for, what, 120-some-odd years?
Yep.
And so to make a judgment and say that human activity is to blame is, to me, a little, it's kind of like an alarmist activity where they really don't know, but they're just taking correlated numbers and assessing blame.
Well, they have, you know, they have what they consider proof, because carbon monoxide does this and that, you know, and all of these greenhouse gases, you know, keep the air from escaping the earth and cooling off.
It's correlated data, and you can make a correlation, and it not necessarily is proof, and therein lies the problem. It's like hearsay.
But should we fiddle while Rome burns, or should we just discard these guys as quacks?
Okay, let's put our ears up and start listening. You know, first it was global cooling.
Okay, now just a minute. In the next half hour, I'm going to talk about a book called Dark Winter, which says the sun is causing a 30-year cold spell, which will start any year now.
And see, and that's my point. The sun has more effect on the earth than anything on the earth.
Well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not, I mean, the volcanoes and things like that could.
Exactly, you know, and so to
and
blame this on mankind, to me, is a little fallacious. They should be looking at a bigger picture rather than trying to make it an economic activity thing. Everything we do is causing global warming. Well, okay, we might contribute half of 1%, but you know what? Look at the 99%. Out there, what really causes the heat change, and that's the sun. I mean, it's cloudy now, and we have a weather pattern here, You know, we're in the sun's in the southern hemisphere right now. I mean, all these things contribute to the temperature more than me going out and starting my car.
Yeah, it could be the start of dark winter.
Yeah, if we are responsible for just 1% of this, do you feel like we have any kind of responsibility to turn that around?
You know, it is such an insignificant amount; it isn't even in the scale of error.
But you don't know that, Steve. You don't know at what degree stuff melts and floods New York. You don't know that. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, so you don't know that 1% or whatever could be pushing you over the edge. And I'm not arguing for or against anybody. I'm just pointing out facts.
Yeah, and the fact is that they don't have the facts yet. They're speculating, and it's a hypothesis.
Quite possibly.
And so, you know, give us the facts. Tell us what really makes us warm. I'd rather be in a nice sunroom on a sunny day at 90 degrees.
But isn't it interesting that we've had 5 record warm years in the last 7 years? Isn't that
Hardly.
Interesting to you?
Well, you know, I just look at the cold that we're having right now.
All right. Thanks, Steve. He's one of those live-in-the-moment guys.
The disgruntled vet has written in to say, my issue is any scientist saying the science is settled. Science is never settled.
The science is never settled. That's right.
Colds, cancer, HIV, incurable, then stop trying?
Yeah, exactly.
I think his opinion is no, you don't stop trying.
Let's go to Mark of Boise. Mark.
Well, Paul, you've gotten on me for being a conspiratorial theorist in the past, and I hate to say it, but you seem to buy into all this government-issued crap that comes out.
Wait. What have I bought into, Mark?
Well, because I agree with what Steve said. First off, have you ever watched the History Channel? They've showed this years back, and they've once in a while repeat it. It was
okay.
Called
now wait a minute. In the next half hour, we're going to talk about something that's 180 degrees different from this.
Thank you, Paul.
So I haven't pushed anything or made up my mind about anything.
But sometimes
we're throwing
when you
it
come
out
across
there.
On the air, you sometimes listen as you talk with other people that call in. The way you come across, it's almost like you're agreeing with the government BS out there. I want people to go to a website called RealClimateScience, all one word, .com. And up in the upper left, you'll see where it says the Deplorable Climate Science Blog. It talks the history of NASA and NOAA temperature corruption and how they have deliberately manipulated the records to push this global warming because they are government-run agencies.
To what end?
RealClimateScience.com.
Okay.
Okay, but let me all right.
So why are they doing this? To what end?
What does it do to our pocketbooks, Paul, when they close down when Obama administration, do you know they wanted to make people basically, they wanted to take, what was it, Loretta Lynch? I think it was, and this has happened over in Europe, where they wanted to have people who were skeptical of this global warming thrown in jail, even here under the Obama administration. That came out in the media in all places, WorldNet, Daily, Breitbart, you name it, Drudge Report. It was in the news how the Obama administration wanted to use the Justice Department to go after people, just like they have over in Europe, that say this climate change stuff is a bunch of BS. It's the natural
stuff. And they were going to throw them in jail?
They wanted to make it a criminal act here.
No.
Oh, yes, he did.
Thanks, Mark.
Well,
Thanks for the call.
Paul.
What? No. Thanks for the call. You've got freedom of speech in this country. So they can't throw you in jail for having an opinion? My God. It's 9:26. Okay, we are back. A lot of phone action. Let's go to Jeff of CUNA. Jeff, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Yeah, Paul J. You know, you're talking about the warmest year on record, and that, you know, they keep putting it out, it seems like, every year. If you do a quick search, you can find an article in Forbes in 2012 where they talk about the data manipulation that NOAA and NASA do to get that. And basically what they do is they make the temperatures in the past years cooler to always make the new temperatures hotter. But in the big view, that's just kind of noise. If you go and you can find the different core samples for thousands of years. What you'll find is in the medieval warm period, we were 2 to 3 degrees above where we are now. They used to make wine in Britain, and they used to grow oranges in France. They don't do that now. Then you went into the mini ice age for 350 years. The Earth was basically a half degree or more below normal. And now in 1850 was considered the end of the mini ice age. And then you always hear these things, well, since 1850, we've raised, it could gone up this many degrees. Well, if you have an average system and you're for 350 years you're below normal, guess what it does to even itself out?
Yep. And we're going to talk.
I mean, come on.
We're going to talk about a guy who thinks we're right on the cusp of having a 30-year cold spell coming up. We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
And I actually been following him since 2003. That's the one Russian scientist,
John Casey.
No. There's a Russian scientist that has a model that he put out in 2003 that has tracked the global temperatures. And it's the same thing. It's based on the sun. And just like the one caller said, now let me get this straight. The cows farting are going to change the climate, but that big giant ball of fire in the sky, as it goes up and down in intensity, it's going to do nothing. Oh, yeah, okay, I believe that.
Well, I always liken that cow farting thing to the time when, you know, there were like 30,000 buffalo in the Intermountain West, you know.
Well,
a lot more buffalo than there are cows.
And then you get into the real thing is, you know, the dinosaurs, you think the cows are bad. You got to remember the dinosaurs were all over because that was a really, really warm period. You know, if you go back and look when the dinosaurs were here, I mean, basically there were no ice caps when the dinosaurs were here.
Yeah, and they ate vegetables and they passed a lot of gas.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyhow, you guys
Thanks,
have a good one.
All right, bye.
You too. Insta message from Boise Rabble Rouser who says, please don't give false equivalency to those 3% of climatologists, many funded by the coal and oil industry, who deny human accelerated climate change. The other 97% have overwhelming facts and proof that doubling the amount of carbon dioxide by human activities has been a major critical cause. Keep in mind that the energy industry has hired the same PR firms that threw doubt on the dangers of smoking. I do want to kind of correct you on one thing there. 97% of the studies and 97% of scientists do believe that there's global warming going on, but it drops to 84% when you ask how many scientists believe that humans cause it, and it drops to about 74% when you ask them, can you prove it? Now, again, that still gives you 3 out of every 4 scientists that believe that, yes, humans are doing it, and you can prove that.
Yeah. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
I had my phone on speaker. Okay, first of all, to Steve, the climate does not change every year. That's weather. I mean, these boneheads that keep saying that just drive me nuts. What's happening now is weather, not climate. And you know, going back to the dinosaurs, there was a whole list of other things that were going on back then. That's just ridiculous. But we are having the ice caps are melting. You know, how do you explain that?
Well, my deal is, have they melted before, or were they not there at some point in time and they weren't?
Well, yeah, back when the dinosaurs there was a whole lot of other reasons
sure.
for that, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, just denying science. I mean, Steve denies everything that science says, but he believes literally that the light was created before the sun, like it says in the Bible. I mean, so, I mean, it shows where he's coming from. But, I mean, the global cooling thing, there wasn't a consensus of scientists like there is now on the global warming. I mean, they've, you know, that mini ice age stuff. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that happened when those things happened, and they were just short-lived periods of time, because you know, weather patterns do change, but they know that the CO2 does cause weather patterns to change, and we're producing carbon dioxide. I mean, we know that that's one of the causes of it.
Okay.
Back when the dinosaurs, there was all kinds of CO2 levels on the Earth were like way higher than they are now. But they know that, right? They know that that's one of the reasons why they know that CO2 does cause climate patterns to change.
Yeah. All right, got to move on. We need to take a break. It's 9:43. All right, we are back. John of Napa's been hanging on forever. Let's go to John before we go to our 30-year cold spell. John, good morning.
I was listening this morning. I had took a break over the Christmas, New Year's time, and I haven't been listening much. But the first day I turn it on, and wow, here we go. First of all, I don't agree with Mark much. That marker, yeah, Mark, on the gold, on the chemtrail thing. But he's absolutely right about making it illegal for you to speak out against climate change or global warming. And I want to cite you a news report.
That's against the First Amendment. You have the right to express yourself.
That's fine. But, you know, a law can be changed, and they are actually trying to establish law to do that. And I want to cite you a news report. It's from the Washington Times. And I know the Washington Times is not much on common sense, but on June 2nd of 2016, California Senate, it says, quote, California Senate sidelines, didn't say they threw it out. It didn't say they voted it down. They said they sidelined a bill to prosecute climate change skeptics. So there is the fact that it's even active should throw some alarm flags up for you, Paul J.
Well, yeah, I would question the use of the word sidelines.
Okay, well, I don't. I think it's there on purpose. And the second thing is, you put me on behind Rich, which I'm glad there was a commercial break there because I couldn't even stand up. He says, about the climate goals, he thinks the ooh and that on he does, you know, say, okay, makes him sound smart. But it doesn't. He says that climate is not weather. How is it not weather? And then if the weather forecasters can't predict what is going to happen next week in the weather, why should I believe what they're saying about the climate in 50 years?
See, that's a job we should all have. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong.
All right, I'm gone, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Okay. All right, I need to
go ahead
to get to this John Casey book. Climate change has been a perplexing problem for years, and in Dark Winter, author John Casey, a former White House National Space Policy Advisor, gotta get my cursor over here, a NASA headquarters consultant and space shuttle engineer, tells the truth about ominous changes taking place in the climate and the sun. Casey's research into the sun's activity, which began almost a decade ago, resulted in the discovery of a solar cycle that is now reversing from its global warming phase to that of dangerous global cooling for the next 30 years or more. This new cold climate will dramatically impact the world's citizens. He talks about the end of global warming, the beginning of a solar hibernation, a historic reduction in the energy output of the sun, a long-term drop in Earth's temperatures, the start of the next climate change to decades of dangerously cold weather, and the high probability of record earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. So if you want more on that, sobering look, as they call it, at Earth's future, Dark Winter is the name of the book. It's written by John Casey. So I just wanted to point out that the first story we had is five of the last 7 years have set record warmths. And people are saying, you know, this is it, this is it.
Right.
And here's the opposite opinion. And for people who say we don't often give the opposite opinions, we just did.
All right. Kent of Boise writes in to say the same lawmakers that deny climate change, global warming, also want to ban dihydrogen monoxide, the invisible killer. That's water, obviously, H2O. And it can kill you if you drown in it.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Huh?
I don't know anybody that wants to ban it necessarily.
Yeah. Let's go to Bob of Napa. Bob, you got about a minute.
Okay. Morning, guys. Hey, I just want to say thank God to Al Gore and company discovered global warming. We'd be up to our eyeballs right now if they hadn't. You know, I think these various scientists, they justify their positions and their budgets by finding something to worry about. So you guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
Debbie.
And that's true. There are people who have to have something new to worry about at least once a week.
Debbie of Boise says the temp raised 0.07 degrees, well within the margin of error, meaning temp change is actually null. And second point, we have a valley of what? 250,000 people. Well, we have a city of about 250,000.
Yeah, we have a valley of 750.
Well, about 600, actually, but it's a lot, yeah. All living in houses with their heaters going nonstop, offices, buildings, vehicles, all producing heat. Do tell me again about how much we're warming up the planet. We can't even affect our valley. Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And that's a...
Yeah, and my wife said the other day, this global warming is killing me. It was like 2 degrees.
Jeff of Parma, I think, is going the business route here, but facetiously, when he says, hey, what's a little heat when it comes to making a buck? And...
That's true. 5 times the temperature record has been broken, 2005, 10, 14, 15, 16.
Chuck says the Obama regime did try to make it possible to imprison anyone declaring climate change wrong. And he gave me a link to Breitbart, but as we said, it didn't go very far.
Yeah.
Mark in Meridian says if you deny climate change, which is detected and researched by science, you are also a science denier. You are very susceptible to fake news.
Well, I think there's the climate change. I think that the planet's warming. I mean, there's proof that the planet's warming. Yeah. I just don't know why.
Sheldon.
I'm not a scientist.
Sheldon wrote in to say, if Mark and other global warming deniers put as much devotion and ferocity into making the planet cleaner as they did fighting against environmental protections and climate science, then we would never have to worry about a habitable planet for future generations. Why is a cleaner planet and sustainability such a bad thing? And yes, those go hand in hand with climate change.
All right.
And let's see here.
It's hard to say, you know, undeniable science, because science is not usually hard and fast.
Yeah. And the disgruntled vet says Sheldon Whitehouse, senator from Rhode Island, wanted to use RICO to prosecute climate change deniers. I'm not sure how that would work.
Yeah, me neither.
Because, you know, that's like, what is it? Going across state lines to commit crimes.
Yeah.
John of Boise says, you get so defensive with some people, you miss when some what they say is true. We do have politicians in this country that have said publicly they want it to be illegal to speak out against global warming. So I don't know why your reaction to that was no, 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 no. I think our reaction was no, because we don't think it'll be possible to pass that, no matter who comes up with it.
And we were up against a hard break, so, you know. 9:55. We'll be back tomorrow for a Thursday. I just hope it warms up. I don't care why. I want it to be 35 degrees. See you tomorrow.